Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm speaking with Martin Carolan, Managing Director and CEO of Global Energy Ventures. ASX code is GEV. So for short, I'm going to say GEV from now on. Now, I've asked Martin to come back on because the last time we chatted with Martin was back in April of this year, and we were talking about their shipping solutions for the hydrogen market. Well, things do change in approximately 6 months, and this week they've made an announcement about a site on the Tiwi Islands. So I'd love Martin to explain it to all to you, because their share price as a result has strengthened quite a lot. And if you'd invested a month ago, you'd be up 62%. Have to mention that. A long way to go, I think. Martin, great to see you. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry. Good to be back.
Good to see you. Martin, as I said just in my intro, when we spoke in April, it was all about the GEV shipping solution for the hydrogen business.
Yes, that's right.
This week you've come out and you've announced the fact that you've got this brownfield site on the Tiwi Islands where you're going to be able to produce your own hydrogen and then transport it up into those Asian markets which are so hungry for this product.
Yes.
Let me ask you to start with, was this a strategy that you had in mind all along, or was this presented to you, or how did it come about, this Tiwi Islands venture?
Yeah, thanks, Kerry. It's a good question and a fair one. When we announced the scoping study back in March, and then we spoke to you in April, We made it very clear that we would do two things. We would seek bankable projects that we deemed to be worthy counterparties, that had the right attributes for us, and then we would seek to partner and then look to run feasibilities and then be selected as the preferred shipping and transport method. But what we also understood from our extensive many months of work in that scoping study was that we should also be looking to move upstream and look at controlling the molecules of energy, so therefore the production of hydrogen. So it made sense to us. We have some core skills in the business going back through development of power stations, LNG facilities, terminals. So we certainly have the capability. So we've been looking and spending many months looking at various sites, and we're delighted to announce this week that we've, with the support of the Northern Territory Government and the Manupi people of the Tiwi Islands, that we have announced a wonderful game-changing site for us to move forward as becoming an upstream company and a pure-play hydrogen company.
So let me go back again. Was it always in the mix that this might be an opportunity, number one? And number two, how did you come across this particular site? Did it take a long time? Did you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you found the Tiwi Islands?
Yeah. So there's a few questions there. So it's always been on our agenda to look at the upstream. It makes sense for us to control the upstream and then leverage the delivery of that product using our own solution. So we're using the IP of our shipping as the foundations to move upstream. And that's quite a unique investment proposition, and no one else really has that in the Australian or even the global market right now. If we think about compression, we are sensitive to distance. We know that we can move large-scale volumes from 2,000 to 4,000 nautical miles. So if you just simply look at the map in our announcement this week, the Tiwi Islands is really one of the northernmost points in Australia, and it's possibly the most northern point with a port that matches our ship specification. So what we've done is essentially we've removed perhaps up to 1,000 nautical miles of that journey. So the closer to the market, the cheaper that the landed cost should be. So now we're in this process of now doing a full feasibility to go from a solar production facility through a transmission line into electrolysis, which produces the green hydrogen. We then compress, load, and export. And so that's now our ambition for the Tiwi project.
And for those that don't know, there are two types of hydrogen out there, Martin. There's the green and there's the blue, which I learned last time from you. And green hydrogen just means that you're producing it 100% from renewable energy. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So on this project then, are you going to have to put up wind farms, solar farms, or are you going into a joint venture with other people? Just explain to our listeners how this is going to work.
So we've scoped out the capacity of up to 2.8 gigawatts, and at this stage it is 100% solar. We will look at some potential other complementary renewables. It doesn't look to us as though there's any compatibility for wind, so it will be 100% solar. There are certainly quite a few operators of solar farms here in Australia which would view that as an attractive business opportunity for them. So we will be looking to discuss with corporate partners to see, you know, does it make sense for GEV to build and operate that solar farm or someone else with the expertise of doing that? And there are, you know, many groups, being either Australian or international companies here in Australia, you know, doing that already.
As an investment case with GEV, this is a big project with big ambitions.
Yes.
What's your timeline in terms of news flow and also getting the Tiwi Islands? Have you got to jump through a lot of hoops, or has the government been supporting it? Like, for example, down here in Australia, we have native title and we have a number of other hoops to run to jump through. What are your challenges with the Tiwi Islands?
Yeah. I mean, another key benefit of this site location is the fact that, you know, the Tiwi Islands is owned by the Tiwi Island people. So it doesn't have the same consideration of what the traditional native title scenario is on the mainland of Australia. So they have the right to enter commercial lease arrangements for the use of that land under a Section 19 process, which is very well defined. The island itself currently operates under the majority of a plantation operation. So the area that we have identified for the solar farm is already disturbed land, currently operating as a plantation. It's underperforming. So it's disturbed land. So we certainly have the benefits, one, of not having a traditional native title process. We simply need to come to a commercial arrangement with the Manupi people for the lease access and commercial rights to pay them to use the land.
Sorry, let me interrupt you there for a moment, Martin. You said it was plantation land. Mm-hmm. Isn't that plantation land food? And
they've been using plantation to grow different types of trees to then, you know, cut down and export from the island. So they've been doing that for a number of years.
And so from an economic point of view, from their perspective, this is a positive for them to then use that land in this way.
Yeah, so I mean, the plantation business hasn't been a huge success for the Tiwi Island people on the island of Melville. So what we're coming along and offering is a low impact from a footprint perspective, a very low environmental impact, and a way for them to have the social and economic benefits of a sustainable business that can run for the next, you know, 20 to 50 years.
20 to 50 years, okay. Will you be employing a lot of people on the Tiwi Islands? And I'm kind of trying to get a vision in my head of where you're at and how long this will take to get into production as well.
Yeah, so we will start to mobilise a team. As I said, we've been working with the Tiwi people for almost 6 months. The Northern Territory Government have an investment, Territory Investment Commission team, which are helping us. So we will mobilise a team to undertake a full feasibility study. Again, in the release that we've provided on the figure on page 2, it clearly identifies where the solar farm will be, connected to a 30-kilometre proposed transmission line. There is an industrial park already available, which would then be suitable for installation of our electrolysis and compression. There's existing brownfield, existing operating port already there. So we're not coming in to disturb a whole lot of existing landholding. I mean, the representation of our footprint is less than, you know, 5 or 6%.
So, what is that port used for at the moment? What was there before you guys came along? Was it just being not used very much, or was that the plantation export that they were doing?
Yeah, correct. So it's still being used to some level of export of plantation material.
But
it's certainly an underutilized port.
Right, that's what I was getting to. But your shipping solution, that port, does it need dredging, or is it almost made to measure?
No, it's a deep water port. We have a 9-meter draft. It's suitable in terms of the depth and the length required and the weight that it needs to sustain. So far, we understand that it should be highly suitable. So there'll still be some engineering that will take place, but it looks to be an ideal match for our pilot scale ship. You mentioned timeframe before. So over the course of 2022, we'll complete a full feasibility. We want to be in a position to take an FID decision in the early part of 23. That corresponds in parallel with what we're doing on the engineering and approvals for our pilot ship. So again, we've made this quite clear that so the two programs align, and then hopefully the investment decision will be made in the early part of 23. These projects are quite large in their capital investment and construction. So it's a 2 to 3 year construction period for both the onshore infrastructure, then our shipping solutions, the fleet of ships. And so that's a 2026. And some people might say, gee, that's a long way away, but 23 is not far from an investment decision. And 26 would be a first to market for export in Australia of hydrogen.
With the shipping solution, where are you proposing to have those ships built? Is that here in Australia or somewhere else? Or
No, the capability to build these scale of ships would be in Asia. The yards could be in Japan, Korea, or China.
Let's talk about the market for hydrogen. Listen, Martin, since, again, going back to when we spoke in April, I think I mentioned in our interview it's a billion-dollar market. I think it's trillions of dollars now, and there's a lot of focus on it. Is it all hype? Or just explain to our investor audience what you see the investment case for hydrogen, how big is this market, and what's it look like going forward? Because I guess if you go back a while, hydrogen was, an unstable energy source because it was hard to transport.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So the challenge has always been storage and transport. Mm. So that's why we've been drawn to the market, because we think compression is a simple and efficient way to store and transport. And so we have a low risk, low technology pathway to get there. The market is there's lots of different numbers. It depends which forecast you read. So from a total market perspective, they're saying that it could grow by at least 100 million tons in the next 10 years and fivefold over the next 40 years to 2050 So then you look at recent numbers around what's the seaborne trade market. So today it's zero, right? So let's be quite clear about that. But Wood Mackenzie just yesterday came out with a note to say that they expect, 150 million ton market to evolve from zero today to 2050. That would position hydrogen as the third most commodity traded from an energy perspective in the world at that point in time. So there are no hydrogen capable storage ships available today either. So all of this investment needs to move towards the point when the market will be ready. So we think being ready for 2026 will be the early volumes from both a supply and a customer demand point of view. We're not trying to push millions and tons into the market. We're talking up to 100,000 tons just from this one project alone over time, phased in development. So we're being realistic. We're not trying to build mega scale, multi-gigawatts in the first tranche. We're looking to scale this up in moderate volumes, demonstrate compression works, and build with the market. That will also help us benefit from the cost down that's meant to take place. So the industry still believes that renewable costs will come down, the cost of electrolysis will come down, and we also have the view that our shipping costs will come down once we've been through the first iteration of fleet construction.
When we first started speaking, it was all about the shipping solution, not necessarily about the production side of it. And I guess what we're now looking at is a game changer for the company in that you can produce, supply, ship hydrogen. So it's the whole chain. When we were talking before, it was about finding partners who had hydrogen and you had the solution. Yep. Is that still part of GEV's supply? Are you still looking to get those partners and work with those partners? Or have you just said, here's the Tiwi's huge, that's where we're going to focus all our attention?
No, again, we've made it quite clear to our investors and the market in recent days. So the midstream capability of offering our transport solution to third party or bankable third parties is still a core focus. In August, we signed a collaboration MOU with what's called the High Energy Project, located in the Gascoyne region of WA. The partners there are ASX listed Province Resources, PRL, and they have the big renewables major in Total Eren, which is the largest shareholder there, is Total Energies. that is an extremely attractive project for us to demonstrate, you know, larger scale capability, a bankable partner, a wonderful site for renewable sources, and right on the doorstep of the coastline. So we're still 200% behind that project, and we will still, over the near term, perhaps announce one or two scale projects as a third party transport provider like that in the near term. I don't think they'll be in Australia, but it will be in other parts of the world.
That was going to be my next thing. Is the world watching what you're doing? Because I think you've got a unique shipping solution at the moment that nobody else is doing. And this is patented technology, isn't it? So does give you a bit of a leg up globally?
Yeah, that's right. So we have a patent over the design of the containment or the tank that sits within our ship. Compression is not unique to us, and that's why we think it's going to be a lower risk option. We certainly have continued to see, you know, every month and sometimes some weeks, you know, the phone rings about a project in somewhere in the world which has the matching scale of volume. Does it suit the distance that we want to travel? And we've undertaken, you know, reverse due diligence on those projects. Some haven't progressed and some are still progressing. You know, we took nearly 4 months to announce our first MOU with the High Energy Project. I should add that we were successful in grant funding from the WA government for that project. So, you know, the credibility of our company and our offering is being recognised more and more, not only in Australia, but around the world. So it's still a fantastic global opportunity, but we don't want to be a one project company. That's the one thing we don't want to risk. Everyone that we are talking to, we're positioning, you know, what's their window for deliveries at 26, 27? We can have ships available for that. And then which of those projects are going to be successful? I mean, there'll be more than one yard that can build these ships. So it's not like we're contained to that constraint.
In terms of funding, you've got cash in the bank at the moment. Love to talk to you about how you're going to spend that, but also how much funding potentially is there out there from governments in Australia or globally? I mean, Scott Morrison has announced that, you know, this net zero emissions by, is it 2050? Yes. And how's he going to get there? And he's throwing a lot of money at it. Would you qualify? Because from an investor point of view, mm-hmm. these things can take a lot of capital to get up and running.
Yes.
How do you see that working?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, as I mentioned, we've been successful in the grant application with the WA Renewable Fund, Hydrogen Fund. So we know the process. We know that our merit criteria is applicable to these grant schemes. We have applied for one other, you know, federal round. We will look at the Hydrogen Hubs initiative, which was launched only just 2 weeks ago. It's another $450 million going across feasibility level projects right through to construction. So that could be, you know, I think they're allocating somewhere between $3 and $30 million per project. This, you know, next week we expect to hear from the government again on what investment they're going to make to have this technology driven outcome for net zero. So as an Australian company with IP and now with a real capability to be able to assist with the export of hydrogen, we think we qualify, and the merit criteria that we've seen for other projects attain ARENA funding, for example, I think we sit well with that. So, you know, I think we will continue to work with government and see where that's most appropriate.
As I said before, some of these things can be quite capital intensive.
Yes.
Would you look at, for example, potentially spinning out the Tiwi Islands project and getting a strategic partner in there as a sort of an almost a standalone project and keep the shipping solutions over here? Would you look at a strategic partner for Tiwi Islands?
Yes, definitely we would, Kerry. I mean, we would. The two things that we need is, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, a bigger balance sheet, and then obviously an offtake customer, and that could be the same person, right? So, yeah. You know, we've seen, you know, the most successful projects here are backed by you know, bigger groups with international networks and balance sheets. So we will look now to bring in partners. Is it only at the solar end, or is it over the entire supply chain? Is it within the shipping? Is it at what format? But until we had this project locked away to the point of where we're ready, there's not much point in moving forward. So we want to
that's why I wanted to bring you on and have a chat with you today, because I think it is a game changer for the company.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Well, that's right. The game changer is that we've moved away from being this midstream, are you a shipping company, to I'm more interested in hydrogen companies. So, you know, we've de-risked the investment proposition. We've now taken control of our destiny and we're becoming a pure play hydrogen stock for people to have a look at with a tangible and transparent process of what we're trying to do.
Which is what I like. And, you know, you guys have all got skin in the game as well. There's about 6 million is your cash balance at the moment. How are you going to spend those funds?
Well, we have, the funding that we've been provided by the WA government covers the majority of our high energy feasibility costs for the next 6 to 7 months. So okay. That's fine. As we mentioned, we've got about $6 million of cash in the bank. Yeah, the Tiwi feasibility will be, mostly back-ended in the second half of next year. And we have some ongoing commitments to further engineering and testing of our shipping solution, which again is mostly second half of the year. So with grant funding, we're still remaining in good shape for now. So the other benefit of what we have as a company, we're not installing heavy capital complex engineering processes just to produce the hydrogen. So we don't have massive feasibility costs just to demonstrate the commercial viability of our projects. Yeah, compression is less than 5% of the total supply chain. So we don't have the same scale of engineering costs required as some of these other big projects.
Well, I have to mention this one, Martin, because I know that you know about this one. This BlackRock CEO, Larry Fink, said the next $1,000 billion startups will be in climate tech. Do you consider yourself a climate tech company?
Well, I think he clarified that it'd be, I think he said green cement, green ag, and green hydrogen. So, you know, we are now positioned to be a green hydrogen company, and we also have the underlying technology and our IP to get it to market. There's not a lot of IP in building solar farms or procuring electrolysis, right? That's been a proven process for some time.
Yeah.
So what we do have is a unique skill set and then the ability to get it to market using our own solution. So I would agree, you know, can we be the next unicorn?
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you know, Martin, how I'd like to sign off with all of my people these days. It's like, this is an investor audience. I need three reasons for our investors why they should be sitting up and taking a look at GEV right now.
Yeah, well, I think my number one is, you know, the investment case and opportunity for hydrogen is just getting started. There was a bit of a false start perhaps at the start of the year, but, you know, I think the tailwinds for this industry, look, they remind me of, you know, lithium back in 2009, 2010. We saw a number of companies that have moved through and have gone 10, 20, 30 times, you know, in their valuation at the point of production. So, I think that's the opportunity for investors to replicate that sort of success. My number two would be, you know, just the fact that our company has repositioned itself this week. We've moved away from the reliance upon third parties, even though we will support third party projects, and become our own fully integrated hydrogen supply company. So that is a repositioning. And so we become a pure play company. And I think the third one is really just the benefits of our brownfield site selection. I mean, we have not seen this much detail in any ASX listed company. So whether it be the no native title, the access to existing port, the low environmental footprint, the support of the local landowner, the support of the local government, and the last thing is really proximity to market. You cannot get a site to export green hydrogen in scaled volumes any closer to the Asian market. So that will be a huge benefit to us.
Martin Carolan, Managing Director and CEO of Global Energy Ventures. What a week you've had. The Tiwi Islands project now going ahead, being announced to the market. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said at the start, ASX GEV, a startup, not really. It's a massive market and they are literally on the cusp of game changing for the company. Martin, great to see you. We'll see you next time on Small Caps.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Bye-bye.